Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and today I've struggled with the sermon a lot this week, and we're gonna go on kind of a journey. And I'm thankful that you guys have come. You've chosen to face the snow. There was definitely a good excuse to stay home today. And the ones that are here, I'm trusting you're here because you want Jesus. Like that's why we're here, right? And so we're going to pray here in just a second, because what we're about to do, I don't do lightly. We're going to go to a dark place, a place that smells like death. And you don't go there naively without getting hurt, okay? But we're going to go there with Jesus, because with Jesus, even things like that can become the source of life, okay? So we're going to go to this dark place because we need to get there to come over to this other spot, okay? And we can't get to this good spot unless we really face this darkness first, okay? So I'm going to pray before we do that. Jesus, we're here today because we need you. We're here because we want more of you. And Jesus, I pray that you would take us on this journey today to see our true condition and to take hold of the life you have for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So this dark place I'm going to talk about, a lot of times we cover it up. It's a place in our heart. We cover it up with a lot of other things, achievements or activities or distractions, because we hate facing it. And there's this fear that we have that it's true. And the statement that we run from in our hearts is this idea that we're unworthy. And we've all faced that at different moments. And whether you're struggling directly facing it right now or you've covered it up, for most of us, we haven't really gotten over it. It's just either we're ignoring it or it's right in our face right now. And the reason it just keeps coming up is because there's a piece of that that is true. And that's what I want to hit us with today, is that there's a piece of that that is true about us being unworthy. And to us to really, we have to swallow that truth to be ready for the next couple truths I'm going to talk about. We're going to get to a much brighter place, but we're going to start in a pretty dark spot today. And I'm going to tell you a story. It's a simple story, but it's about a time when I really came to think, like, I'm not worthy. And I want you to connect with a point in your life, because we've all had them, some point when you really felt like, in this moment, I'm not worthy. So for me, one of the starkest memories comes back to me. It's of a dark couch. And I showed you a picture last week of me when I was 14, or I was 14 last week. This happened when I was 14 or 15. I got invited to this party, and it was with all the cooler kids at high school. I didn't know exactly who was going to be there, but I knew it was kind of a cool kid party. And so I went to it, kind of nervous about it. I wasn't sure who was going to be there, but, you know, delusions of grandeur that was going to be great for me. I went to this thing, and this was back, this is like early 2000. It's probably actually the year 2000 or something. So cell phones weren't really popular with high school students at this point, and I definitely did not have one. Some kids had them. And I couldn't drive yet. I wasn't 16. So this horrible situation, if you guys were ever in this spot, if you're going somewhere and you don't know how it's going to go, but you have to make a commitment on the front end for how long you're going to be there. Your parents are going to drop you off. You have to tell them when to pick you up. So you're putting your chips down. Do you think it's going to go good, not good? How long are you going to stay? But you're stuck. Kids today, I don't know if I've ever said that before, but it's a different thing for them probably. But so for me, I had to tell my mom probably what time to pick me up. And I get there, and within 5 minutes of being there, I regret however long I told her. Like, it was too long. I shouldn't have come at all. Because when I get there, the whole vibe of the place, it's only like the like super popular kids, and I'm instantly, it's like that Sesame Street song where it's like one of these things is not like the other. It's like, it's bad. And It's one of those, I mean, so here's the deal. With when you feel unworthy, our first thought is, I want to run away from this, right? I want to cover it up or run away. And whatever, whether you use drugs or some other person or some job or whatever, we want to run away from that feeling of everybody sees I'm unworthy. But for me, I just went to this dark couch. That was the, like, farthest I could get away, because I wasn't about to, like, go use the landline and call my mom and have someone else overhear that. I was going to try to slip out as unnoticed as possible. So I just sat there for quite a while. And I remember vividly, I remember sitting on the couch. I remember stereotypical, like, popular guy, you know, this jock guy comes in, and he's angry that I'm there. And he says, like, in this, like, mean voice, like, why are you here? And I, like, it sunk in. And I know there's, like, some, like, the, all these people are, like, kind of caricatures in my mind at this point. But, like, the, like, super sweet popular girl who's, like, oh, blah, 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 like, trying to make it not sound as mean. But I knew, like, that was, for my mindset. I mean, now I look back, we were all 14 and 15-year-olds. Like, none of us were cool. But, like, in my mindset back then, like, I accepted that setup, and I knew, like, I didn't measure up, and I accepted it as a valid measure, you know? And so for me, I felt it. I felt like I don't belong here because I'm not good enough. And as silly as that little, my little microcosm is, you have had those same feelings. I don't belong in this thing or thought of this way because I'm not good enough. And the reason it's so haunting is because as humans, that's true about where we really want to be. We really want to be living forever as good, fully good, alive people. And the reality is, like, we're not good enough for that. Like, on our own. And the, for some of you in the room, you're so close to a train wreck or something in your life that you can just right now, you realize, yep, I'm not good enough on my own. But there's other folks in the room who, for whatever reason, you've got yourself convinced, or at least covered up, and you've ignored that. But if you want to go with Jesus, it's not just like a one-time realization. I think you need to get to this kind of death spot of I can't make it on my own. I'm not good enough on my own. And it's not like a one and done. I think while we're on earth, it's like a pick up your cross daily. Like, this is a piece of that. Come to grips with the fact that on your own, you are not worthy. None of us want to sit on a couch and feel that way. Right? You don't want to sit in that. I think we have to face that to be ready for the next piece, what we're going to talk about. And there's a lot of verses I could pick out of the Bible for about what about this, if we want to come to God that we're not worthy. But this one, I felt like captured it in a certain way. It says, this is Paul quoting God from the Old Testament in Job, but Paul says in Romans 11, 35, says, who has ever given to God that God should repay them? This idea, when we come to God, we all come as debtors. We all come as people that have got a loan out that we can't pay back. None of us have any capital to give. None of us have anything we can say like, well, this is mine. I invented it. It's on my own. And I'll give it to you. It's worth something. And for a lot of us, we can nod our heads to this sort of statement at church, but it's pretty easy, whether you've got 3 weeks clean or whether you've been coming to Maywood for 75 years, it's pretty easy to start to think of yourself a little bit like this next picture. So if you Google good guy, wander around the internet for a little bit, you can find this picture. Because this is, I guess, a good guy according to computer or whatever. Because it's got this big good in the surrounding, right? And it is a guy. I was reading some C.S. Lewis yesterday, Mere Christianity, and it just hurt me because it was so spot on. He talked about there's some people who have, you know, they have this kind, good upbringing. They have a natural good digestion. You know, they just have, they have some stuff going for them that makes them a nice person from, like, other people's standards. And so other people around them will say, like, you're a good guy. That's kind of how everyone talks about them. And C.S. Lewis says, and between you and me, you agree with them. just like, just hurt, because it's like everybody thinks Jake is a nice guy. I mean, not everybody, literally, but like the vast majority. And the thing about the 14-year-old, like, I couldn't get away from the me not worthy moment there. But most of us as adults, right, we get to the spot where we can feel okay about ourselves with the people around us, right? And so there's that pride in me that he was hitting on. And what C.S. Lewis starts to pull back is like, but if you take away all these good things that God gave you, like the healthy body and the not a lot of pain and all these other blessings, how good would I be? And you start to see that my goodness, any goodness I do have, is a gift from God to me, not my gift to God. And so I'm like this guy in this picture, like it's just good by surrounding, not by my own virtue. So it's hard to get to this spot, and we're about to get out of it, but I want to make sure you didn't just listen to this and think like, oh, that's a good point. You have to face this for yourself. It's very uncomfortable to really tell yourself, like, I'm not good enough on my own. To really believe that. We're masters at covering that up. But when you accept that peace, then the doors open to accept this new peace that Jesus has for us. And when Jesus, a lot of times, will describe life in him as it's a death and then a resurrection to new life, and maybe that didn't make sense to you before, but think about what your heart is going through if you're on this journey with me right now. Facing your own unworthiness, your body screams against that, just like it would scream against physical danger. You know, you want to run away from it or fight it, but you don't want to accept it, right? It's this kind of death thing to say, like, yeah, I'm not good enough on my own. But if you say that, then this next verse is ready for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Practically speaking, Jesus is literally what he's talking about here. Jesus is the gift from God to bring us to him. And it's by grace. Jesus didn't come to you because you were the smartest or because he needed you or because everything's been so mean to you up till now or something like that. He came to you out of his own grace for you. Now, why is it important to accept that first piece before you accept the second piece? It's because if you never accept that you're not worthy on your own, then you'll still be in some sort of trap. And here's one of the traps you could be in that I've struggled with. Is this trap of, I'm going to keep doing and doing and doing because that's what gives me worth. The good things I do is why I'm lovable. If you get into that frantic pace, you got to ask yourself, did I really accept that I'm not good on my own? Did I really accept that Jesus, totally of his own accord, not because of my worth, he picked me and saved me? Because if you really accept those things, it sets you free from that chasing after being good enough to be loved. And that drives a lot of people, and it drives you in ways that other people won't correct. It drives you to do things that other people will like it and they won't push you to be different. The awesome thing about today's message, or one more verse here before we move on, says, not by works so that no one can boast. Nothing you do gets you into right standing with God. God made the whole journey. God went, you know, all the way from China to your doorstep. You do have to open the door, but he's the one that's traveled all the distance. Okay? So then, it's not by works. None of us have anything to boast about. Well, it's not the whole story. This passage has another great verse to talk about, but first I want to get us back to the drummer boy song. The thing I love about this drummer boy song is his whole identity is wrapped up in what he does. He plays the drums. It's his passion. It's what he does. And the thing that gets my heart going when I hear it is that, like, I played my best for you. This idea that he poured his whole self into this one thing. And then in that moment, he's able to give himself to Jesus through the drums, right? He's able to perform and do his best because he's poured himself into something, he's able to hand it to Jesus, right? It's just like, I really, it stirs me to hear that. And I think that's a piece of this next verse. And the reason I went, took us on this bad, crummy journey of through, like, we're not worthy, I don't like talking about that. I didn't take it just to get us to a we can accept Jesus' free gift. Because there's a whole nother great piece to this that comes in the next verse. And it's really hard to get there. So open yourself up to say, Jesus, I want more of you. Okay? Here's this next verse. It says, for we are God's handiwork. I've not built very many things with my own hands in life, but I did build some tables and chairs several years ago. And I still can tell you things about those tables and chairs. I still know them in a way that, like, the stuff I sat on this morning and ate breakfast with, like, I don't know nearly as many details about that chair and that table as I do about the stuff I made more than 10 years ago. It's because when you make something, you understand every detail about it. You sand it, you cut every piece, you put it all together. You know all of its weaknesses and all of its strengths. You know all of its ugliness, and you know all of its goodness, and you know all about it. Jesus knows Ken in that way. Jesus knows Veronica in that way, who shared super beautifully downstairs about how she used to be scared, and how because now what Jesus is doing in her life, she is the strong one for a lot of other people in her life. And she's giving strength to other people. It says that you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. God works through Jesus to make us. He gives us this purpose here. It says to do good works. Your purpose is not to understand everything. Your purpose is not to make sure everybody treats you or your family members fairly. Your purpose is not to be smarter than everyone else you know. Your purpose is not to save every single person that you come into contact with because they have no hope if you don't fix them. It says your purpose is to do good works, and he gives you one more clarifier here, to do good works what? Which God prepared in advance for you to do. We don't even know Jesus until we first say, I can't do it on my own. And when we say, Jesus, I need your grace, that's when we first know him and we're a baby in Jesus. This verse is talking about when we're ready to play t-ball as a Christian. And I don't know that we even get further than that on earth. Because I remember t-ball. T-ball was a lot of fun. I played for the Badgers. That was my team. I played first base because I could catch a little bit. And the thing about t-ball, though, is like I could not hit a pitch given to me when I was 4 or whatever. You know, no matter how easy you threw it, I was going to miss 9 times out of 10. I would even sometimes miss with the tee there. I would sometimes hit the tee. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a t-ball game, but kids will hit the tee. It's just like it's a little hard to remember being that uncoordinated, but it was certainly true. For me, hit the tee and it's just this like horrible whiff. You know, the ball bounces a little bit. Every single day, God sets up a tee for you. And every single day, God puts a ball of opportunity on there, some person. And he has set it up for you to hit the ball. Every day. A lot of us are chasing so hard to make our own thing or to be this superhero and we think everybody else is riding on us. The thing we need to do is accept that God's goodness is what gives us value and then realize God set something up for me to do. Just do it. Just swing at the thing that he's already teed up. T-ball players don't stress about the game, to be honest. They get distracted during the game, you know? They dance and whatever, you know, like all sorts of stuff happens during a t-ball game. But they just hit the balls that are set up for them. And that's all we do if we're doing Christianity right. So I told you a depressing story from high school. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite stories of my whole life. This picture is in my kitchen. I can see it when I do dishes and stuff. And so this is a picture of me and Giovanni. And Giovanni's 8 years old at this point. This is when I'm living in Mexico. And when I went to Mexico, I wound up in this place in this town where literally no one baked. I met a whole lot of people, was in a lot of people's homes. I never saw one person use their oven ever until down the road I started trying to encourage some people. But at first, no one used their oven. They would store pots and pans in their ovens. They just used the stovetops because they were getting the whole set cheap, I think is why they even had them. So I grew up, though, in a house where my mom baked all the time, cookies and breads and stuff all the time, every week, multiple times a week. I got really... I loved baked stuff, and I got to the point where, like, I just kind of expected a lot of fresh baked goods in my life, which I don't know, the stuff that you can grow, become entitled about, is just insane, to the point where when I was in my late teens, early 20s, out of my parents' house, I would find ways of, like, oh, this girl bakes really great cookies, and, like, hey, let's get a whole bunch of people to talk about how great her cookies are, so then she makes us all cookies or whatever. I find these ways to get cookies and breads and stuff made, because it's just selfishness at that point, right? It starts with, I love these things, and then it's selfish at its first display, right? So then I go to Mexico, I go to a place totally devoid of baked goods. And Jesus, on your journey, there's stuff inside of you that's not good or bad, but it's you. Brian has pieces of him that are uniquely him, that God could fill or other things could fill, but they're like this empty vessel. And for me, as strange as it is, like a love for baked stuff, that was a piece of who Jake Taylor is. But left to myself, it was just self-serving, right? And God had to take me to a place where there was just none of it at all as like a reset. And God may have to take you to a place where there's none of the stuff that you like as a reset. But what else was going on in Mexico is I was loving all these families I was getting to meet that were in these little tiny houses. And I go over to their houses, and it's the same Jake who was unpopular when he's 14. It's the same socially awkward person, And I'm trying to go over to these families, these Mexican families where you got a dad who's working 6 days a week, working at this crazy factory, super just like a zombie because he's so wore out and tired. And then you got a mom who's had like four or five kids using her as a jungle gym all day, who's super stressed, who's like, rah, 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 like yelling at the kids. And you have the kids bouncing off the walls because it's super tiny. And then you have like Harry Potter number 6 blaring in Spanish. That's the dynamic that like como estas for me like comes in, And terrible Spanish, it was awkward, it was painful for everybody, right? But I'm trying to help these families connect, and I see that they need help being a family. So I literally helped build a house for them, but like that didn't really do it, the trick, So then I'm there, what do? Well, Giovanni and I start making these breads and stuff together, and I start taking those. And what went from me sitting in a chair and a couple kids sitting down and the mom like working on stuff and the dad like totally zoned out, you put just a loaf of banana bread in the middle of that house, everyone sits at a circle. Everyone is smiling and laughing, which was not happening at all before. The dad engages, which was not happening at all before. The mom's quiet for the first time because the kids are finally like calm and behaved. It's this moment of joy for a family. They get to unplug from all that stress and they connect with each other. And it was like beautiful, to be honest. It was like, how did this happen? And like, I'm the one who baked it. And like, I know like, this is not, the thing that we're experiencing is not the thing that I made. Like, the thing I made is 2.5 cups of flour and it's some baking powder and a cup of sugar. Bananas really done up. I always had to get on to Giovanni, like, do the bananas more. Like, it's all chunky. I know what I put into that oven, and then now I'm experiencing something that's a lot different than that. Jesus came to fill everything in every way. And how he wants to do that is he wants to take us and take all the weird ways that we are who we are, and he wants to fill things through us. And so he made me have this weird thing of I love baked goods, and now he's showing me, like, here's what baking can be at its best. At its best, it's bringing a group of people together in joy. It's its best. And the thing is, I don't know what most things in this creation are supposed to be for at their best. I know God wants to do through you some of that same stuff. He's given you some things that are truly you. And he wants to fill through you. And so if you'll love other people and go where he tells you to go, it'll just start happening. Like, I didn't orchestrate it. I didn't mastermind it. I just stumbled my way through. Like, I think this is where God wants me to be, and I care about these people, and it's an awkward mess, and so I'm going to try different things. And that's how it went. We're going to go one more point, even though it's late. One more point way off the map here. You start doing that stuff, God starts showing you who you really are. So I started baking. I could see that. I'd always liked baked goods. When this picture was taken, Jake at 23 or 20, however old I was really thinking, like, maybe I should just be single for the rest of my life. Like, I liked being a missionary. I didn't really see how it was going to work getting married. Having Giovanni come and hang out with me from up the street, it made me want to be a dad. Forever, that just, like, awoke in me. Like, I never had experienced that before. And that clued me into, like, I think this track I was on to just, like, be single and try to just do all these things by myself isn't the right path for me. I got to figure out who God wanted me to be in, like, a healthy way. It was as I was on this journey just doing the things that God put in me to love other people, right? So this is a whole lot of story, whole lot of, like, what do I do with this, Jake? How do I get the, like, smile from Jesus that the song ends with? Like, how do I get to this point where Jesus says, like, you did it right. You used what I gave you. My shortcut to success, or, like, the way to make this easier on yourself, is Jesus is really into helping people in poverty. It's hard to go wrong if you're doing things to help people that don't have very much. So find for yourself, what's something that I care about, and how can I love somebody who's in need with that thing that I care about? Okay, that's the closest thing I can give you to, like, an assignment. Is what's something that I naturally am drawn to, and how do I help somebody who needs help? So we're going to have our response time. Daniel's going to come up and lead us in one song with the worship team. Have people down front ready to pray. Think about these three things, and what do you need to respond to? Do I need to say, I really understand that I'm not good enough on my own? Do I need to say, Jesus, I accept your grace. I accept that you love me even though I don't deserve it. At the spot where, Jesus, I'm ready to do the good things that you've put on the tee for me. I'm ready to start swinging at the things you've set up for me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for how good you are, that you came all that distance for us. And I pray today that you'd help us to have the courage and the faith to swing at the opportunities that you give us. It's in your name we pray.